Ah, yes, the unicorn's greatest weakness.
Mod!
The backhand.
It's just Mod.
Pretending it's
does Mod have, like, some heavy rings, maybe? Like, Godfather style.
She's decked out.
Does Mod have, like, rings that can, like, she can, like, kind of turn them and they all, like, link into a brass knuckle? I saw that on Etsy.
I've never heard of that. I thought you were going for a Captain Planet thing when they, like, link up or something. I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh my god, I didn't dream that show. That was actually a thing that happened.
With our powers combined.
Is Mod part of Voltron?
This is Once Upon a Monster of the Week.
Reddington, please remember proper etiquette when using pepper spray. Hello, dear listeners. This week we should check in on those ambulances that whizzed by last episode. But first, Maud and Kathy are in Kathy's pink Jeep. Norman and CB are still inside their office building. Does CB need to be invited in?
I haven't decided that yet. It's going to be whatever I think is funniest at the time.
There is something in town that just ran back towards the unicorns, which is in the opposite direction of Kathy and Maud, who are headed home.
I call Maud on my phone. She's in my top five contacts.
Oh my god. Wait,
who
are the other four? I have to ask.
That's a good question. I think the first one is just the town council, and despite the fact that they have multiple voices, they only answer one phone.
Very efficient.
Wendy is definitely number two. Number three is like Horizon Mobile Help. Number four is voicemail. And number five is just in there as Babe? Question mark?
What?
What? I'll say no more, Your Honor.
Who's Babe?
Gotta unlock that backstory first.
But it has a question mark?
It does have a question mark.
No.
I wonder if Maud is going to pick up. Can she handle a cell phone?
Meantime, Kathy is probably fuming, like, next to her, right? In the car?
Yeah, she's not happy. Just not having a time.
So Maud is also pouting because Kathy's pouting. And she has a flip phone, definitely, with the big keys because she can't see them. And, yeah, she answers her phone. What?
Hey, Maud, it's Norman. How the hell are you?
I just saw you.
I know. It feels like just yesterday. So we have a problem. Well, we have a challenge, I want to say. I don't want to say it's a problem right out of the gate. We have an opportunity for growth. There's a big something. Something.
What?
I don't know what it is. I don't
think. Hang on, wait.
There's a...
Wait.
Oh.
And then
I'm waiting.
Put it on speakerphone.
I knew it. I knew we were going there.
Well, she presses one and it goes beep, and she presses two and she goes beep, and she goes, Kathy! And then she just hands it to Kathy to put it on speakerphone.
I do that. I do that.
Okay, hello? Norman, can you hear me?
Jesus Christ.
Hello?
Norman! I think he hung up.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Kathy, what did you do? Oh, there he is.
Sorry, I think...
Okay, what?
No, sorry, go ahead.
No, what? What? You go ahead. Go, tell me now.
Sorry, I think there's a little bit of a lag.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, I think he hung up.
Okay, I think it just cut up. No, I'm here.
Norman!
Mom, okay, Norman okay. can hear you. Norman, what do you want?
Hi, Kathy, it's Norman.
Hi, Norman, what do you want?
How are you?
Norman, what do you want?
I'm good. So, I was just telling Maud, I think we have a real opportunity to grow here as a team. I think there might be a big something headed back towards the Unicorn Ranch. You remember the good times we had there this afternoon? So...
I remember the good times I had with Pinky, but point being...
Yeah, no, you remember Pinky? You loved that crazy little dude. So, I don't know if it's, like, past your bedtime.
You're being... Kathy's gonna pretend she didn't hear that. You're being really cryptic,
Norman. Oh my
Norman.
God.
Yeah, I think we have to go back to the farm and maybe talk it out with whatever we encounter there.
Why?
Well, what if it's a... Huh. Okay. I really do appreciate this. Well, I mean, it's our...
Is Norman having an existential crisis? What's happening?
what if it's a danger to the town? We don't want anybody else to get hurt.
Fair. Cat, Kathy really doesn't want to go. And I'm sure if she could look at that contract or whatever about being a part of this crazy thing about that, she's probably not expected to go off hours. But she knows there's unicorns involved. And she knows that Pinky's involved.
Yep. Yep.
So she,
and before she comes to this conclusion, I think Norman's like, hey, don't you need more volunteer hours for school?
Oh, God. Norman just definitely made it worse.
Oh, God. I want to clarify that, like, the entire time CB is watching, like, this one-sided conversation, watching Norman get, like, more and more, like, existentially horrified. Like, what the fuck is happening on that phone?
There is no texting and driving in Reddington. Is Kathy still driving, or did she pull over?
Oh, Well, because I'm sure it's a flip phone, so it's not like I can, there's no Bluetooth. So I'm imagining, you know, like one hand on the wheel, one hand just holding it, probably.
Oh, no.
But after, assuming how late it is, I'd assume there's not as many cars on the road, if any cars on the road right now. So Kathy, now especially hearing that volunteer thing, the day's going from bad to worse, but Pinky is the one and only highlight she's had throughout this whole ordeal. She goes, okay, so where are we meeting? What do we need to do?
Do you want me to come pick you up? I feel like it just makes sense if we're all in the same vehicle, because then
Norman, I'm driving right
shop.
Now. Where do you want me to go? I'm literally in the Barbie Jeep right now. Where am
the
I going?
Okay. We'll meet you at the farm, and I don't usually condone this. I will say, drive under 10 over the speed limit, please.
Kathy hangs up.
Hello? Kathy?
Maud goes, what did he say?
All right, Maud, we're going back to the farm. There's apparently
I think you guys cut out.
We don't hear this. The phone is hung up. Maud, we're going back to the farm. Apparently there's something we gotta do.
All right.
You're surprisingly accepting of this.
Well, Kathy, I'm not the one driving. I just want to go home. Let's get this over with and leave.
For once we're in agreement, fair enough.
By this point, Kathy and Maud are passing where the ambulances have stopped.
Oh, shit.
As they bicker about what to do next. There is so much carnage.
Jesus!
Just kidding. That would be too much, right?
Woo! Unicorn carnage, sure enough. People carnage, hang on.
But there is definitely a good bit of wreckage and some injured people on stretchers.
Jesus.
Thankfully, everyone who is supposed to be alive is still alive.
Good to know. Am I able to drive through this okay?
Kathy is able to drive around it. She and Maud drive slowly around the town square, passing through this wreckage. Is it carnage? I gotta look up that definition.
Kathy goes, oh shit, Maud, look at all the carnage out there.
Norman turns to CB and is like, okay, we should go into this prepared. Do you remember a couple school years ago when you did that little play with, with the balcony and the,
Cat on a hot tin roof?
Maybe. No, it was, like, older, and the youths are, like, very rash, and I think they die. I think they both die. It's very upsetting.
That's a lot of plays.
There were swords. Do you have any of those?
Please be more specific.
Big swords?
Norman is looking for a prop sword to go up against... I'm here for it.
So sorry. Hold on.
I think talking is our first weapon.
You're going to fight whatever killed a bunch of unicorns with a bunch of fucking foam and plastic? That is your plan.
Were those fake? Those look so real.
It's spray paint.
Wow. What do you know?
Apparently you know absolutely nothing, considering the fact that you are planning to once again let state it for God... go up against a very large thing with, sharp appendages with foam, plastic, and dried spray paint.
Okay, a couple of points I do want to address in there. Number one, I do think you are still reeling from the death of Jeff, so I'm going to ignore you coming for me personally.
You know what? If you want to get yourself absolutely fucking flayed using a bunch of theater props, go ahead. Be my guest.
I was asking
an absolute
for you.
Ball. I will I not was be participating in you. Any of that fuckery. Thank you so very much.
I have methods of self-defense. I was asking for you.
Oh no, you look very earnest.
I go to the closet of my office, and I drag out my golf bag, and I take out my toughest golf club, and I say, this is for self-defense. I think talking should always be our first weapon. This is in case of
emergency.
You're
going to putt it to death.
That I would prefer not to, but I will if the occasion calls for it. There's a lot of stuff you don't know about old Norman, okay? He's kind of a wild card.
Clearly, by the pressed khakis and the perfect golf club grip, you are one party animal. How about I tell you what? You utilize whatever possible means of defense you think you need, and I'll just take care of myself, okay? It's an objective evaluation. It was quite honestly an insult. If you have nothing better to do than golfing, you are the problem.
Well, you know, it's not about the sport, it's about who you do it with.
Listen,
oh my
god,
fine,
let's go. I'm not having 5 more minutes of conversation about your stupid opinions on Tiger Woods.
But do you shut down your computer before you leave?
Why would they know how to do that?
on the way to the car, as we fade out, you do hear Norman start to say, okay, but I do think what he did was wrong, and I don't think we should overlook infidelity just for the sake of somebody. There's a real movement to separate the artist from the art, and I just don't know that I support
off.
That.
Oh my god.
It's canon. Norman hates Tiger Woods and loves women.
And canon, Kathy and Maude just talked about Bridgerton for a bit.
Yes!
You know what? I am so curious. What does Maude like to watch? What can entertain a 98, 89-year-old woman? Do you think Maude watches Downton Abbey, Gilded Age, Bridgerton? Or is she someone who believes that the last good year for movies was like 1967?
I sense a little Golden Girls in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think she likes her soaps and then also like Roseanne and like whatever. Not Roseanne specifically, but what's that brand of TV called? Like sitcom?
Like daytime sitcoms.
Yeah, like daytime sitcoms. A lot of Maury. Big fan of Maury. Big Judge Judy.
I take it back. Maude and Kathy are talking about Judge Judy because Gina loves Judge Judy.
Does Maude like Maury or Jerry Springer more?
Oh, shoot. Which one's more hardcore? Because I can see her screaming both.
Jerry Springer is like a little more white trash.
Okay.
Where on the spectrum, I feel like it goes Dr. Phil, Maury, Jerry Springer. And then like way over here is Dr. Oz, but like on a different plane, like on the Z axis.
Yes.
She loves them all and she calls them all the C word. Which I probably won't say.
Surprisingly, everyone pulls up to the farm at roughly the same time.
It's nighttime and it's scary. It's kind of spooky.
Bitch, maybe for you, CB can see in the dark. Oh yeah, CB takes off their sunglasses because the sun has set.
Kathy also takes off the sunglasses that she put on God knows how long ago.
Do CB's eyes glow in the dark?
It's like they're like a cat, so they are reflective if you point light at it.
Are
it
the
is also
like
a weird...
Cat?
It's like a weird shade of brown where if you point, like, if there's light in the vicinity, they almost look red.
It's like one of those expensive nail polishes. That's sort of
yes, the crackle yes. Nail polish of eyes.
If that's the case, I feel like it's one of those things Kathy eventually probably picked on the time that, like, we've hung out together or hung out, been in, like, the school and the
yeah, we've definitely
together.
Hung out,
hung
like
out,
normal.
Yeah. Well, I can't think of a better choice of words. But it's one of those things that she knows, but it's just one of those things that she just doesn't know how to bring up, so she just actively tries to avoid them. That's why she's not making direct eye contact. That's the real deep-rooted reason, but she won't tell you that.
CB watches Kathy take off the glasses and, like, very quietly mutters, Hosier.
Did someone say Hosier? I love that guy.
How are the unicorns doing? That's what Kathy would hone in on.
The unicorns are definitely antsy. They are awake and moving around uncomfortably, bleeding in dissatisfaction.
Does Kathy see Pinky?
Did they clean Pinky?
No.
No. No. She would know which one was Pinky.
You will never understand a warrior's bond.
Yes. Kathy can see Pinky.
Kathy I mean, she's looking for Pinky. Kathy's going to walk up to them. And I'm sure she notices that they're uncomfortable, but do they react at all with a person coming up to them?
As Kathy gets closer to the fence, the unicorns seem to be more agitated. Be careful, Kathy. They look like they might break through that fence. It's not safe. She's going to get injured.
Kathy's smart enough to recognize that and is just going to walk on back. Not getting crushed by a fence today.
I have in my car like an Enya CD. Do you think maybe I should roll the windows down and play? Would that help? Or is that...
You follow... Who are you talking to?
Norman, and she says this in all sincere sarcasticness, you follow what your heart tells you to do right now.
Thank you, Kathy. That means a lot to me. Can I actually grab an aside with you real quick?
Oh, God.
Could I bend your ear for a second?
Oh, CB looks back and forth and instantly takes like 12 steps away.
I imagine.
But is very clearly trying to eavesdrop.
Fine. Kathy agrees to the aside.
I just wanted to say earlier, I feel like you really reached out to me, the offices. I know that was giving you a lot of concern, and I had extended myself to be there for you. And I think I really did get caught up. You know, I'm not a perfect person. I did get caught up in sort of euphoria is not the right word, but the rush of encouraging CB to use their manners. And I kind of abandoned ship a little early when I feel like you needed me. And I'm not feeling proud of my actions there. And I want you to know I'm going to try to do better. And I owe you one.
Well, to quote something that you often say, Norman, I hear you. But also to quote something that you probably... Y'all listening to this podcast can't see it. I just got a vigorous nod, and that was beautiful.
Yeah.
But to also quote something that I think you would agree with me on, that I'll just say, is that actions speak louder than words.
Ooh.
Yeah, they do. That is really true.
Kathy mentally drops the microphone and walks away.
Okay.
Just mentally walks away or actually walks away?
She mentally drops the microphone. She actively walks away.
And Norman takes a breath to himself and says, part of an effective apology is changed behavior. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to change my behavior. And this is to nobody. This is just to Norman. This is just for Norman.
He can hear the unicorns getting agitated in the background.
I love you too, Pinky.
Maud hobbles up from the car and she walks up to CB.
I'd like to imagine she was just looking at her phone the whole time trying to figure something out.
Yeah, piece of shit.
Okay, so you know that one clip from The Office where, like, the lady comes up behind the one dude and the dude doesn't see her? And then he's like, oh, fuck.
Jesus Christ.
That is what happens.
As an Office fan.
Okay.
Yes. 100%.
What's in your craw?
What the fuck do you want?
I'm just here for the same thing you are. Which is what exactly? I still don't understand. He said we have to come make right with the unicorns or something.
So from what I've gathered, and none of this was in the current of my will, there is something that has been maiming and somewhat killing unicorns, and for some ungodly reason, we have taken it upon ourselves collectively, collective insanity, except for Norman, that we need to be the ones to figure out why all of this is happening. I believe Norman is doing therapy on Kathy. Very funny dialogue happening in that direction. Would love to fill you in on that fucking disaster. But really, no, I'm not entirely sure what we're doing here or why I have to be here. There's just something that we need to kill. My hope is that it can be made into a steak. I'm starving.
I would be down for that.
Okay, Autumn Harvest Planning Gang.
Oh, don't.
Let's... this seems like a pretty bad situation. Let's see if we can get a read on this.
After Kathy storms away from Norman, or just walks away?
A professional walk away.
It's brisk. It's with purpose.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Norman starts to look around and sees similar footprints to what they were investigating earlier. These tracks look fresher and newer. Norman also notices that the closest unicorn gate is standing wide open.
And the unicorns are where they're supposed to be, though?
None of the unicorns have escaped. But there is definitely a gate open that wasn't opened when the group left earlier.
Okay, I'm going to go to close it. I do have my golf club.
Oh, Jesus.
But I am carrying it in a non-threatening manner.
How is that? Over the shoulder? Under?
It's like over the shoulder, like parasol style.
Oh, God.
Both arms.
Yes. It's the walk from the waist down that makes it non-threatening. It's very jaunty.
Please tell me Norman's like twirling it like a parasol.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing Mariano's walk from Encanto.
Yes.
Obsessed.
But gangly.
Norman takes off towards the open gate. It's a good time to let you know, dear listener, that the only light in this area is currently coming from the two cars. Farmer Jeffrey's house sits dark, and while it is clear there are lights around the unicorn pen, they are currently turned off. CB and Maud are chatting, and has anyone seen Kathy?
Chatting's a strong word.
Yeah, I'd say she probably just goes, for now, just kind of goes back to her car, and is just kind of not wanting to engage in conversation, just kind of leaning against the driver's side door, and just kind of observing, I guess.
As Norman gets closer to the gates, the further away he gets from the light sources, until he finds himself in the unicorn's fence. Encampment? That's not the right word.
Enclosure. Jinx. There we go. We did it, gang.
It's so late, listeners. I hope they're wrapping up soon.
I want to turn to CB and say, listen, if we help him out, we might be able to get out of here just a little bit faster, so get your ass in there with me. And I'm gonna start.
Do we notice him like going to the fence and then suddenly in the pen or enclosure? My bad.
Do you want to see Norman get his shit wrecked is I think the question.
Oh boy. Okay, well clearly Maud has seen that.
Yeah, because we saw Kathy and Norman having a conversation just a minute mm-hmm. ago, right? So I assume.
Yeah. So I guess after Maud says that, he was like, oh, fine, you take point.
All right.
And they follow Norman.
Yeah, we go follow Norman.
Go, Grandma.
Spatially, where was it the spot that Norman, like, went to go, like, check the prints and then to the pen?
Norman is a good distance away. The gate is not bathed in the light provided by your car. It is, unfortunately, in a much darker area.
So I'd imagine in this situation, Kathy might not have noticed where Norman went, but I feel like she might have noticed that something was going on because he got teleported to that enclosure. So I'd imagine she'd at the very least hear that the unicorns are like, what the fuck is in this enclosure now? And she would probably go check and then see that Norman's in there. So I'll say that Kathy goes to the pen.
As Kathy gets closer to the pen, she can definitely see something dark against the night, holding up Norman's leg and dragging him away.
Oh, no!
Slowly.
Oh, my God! Oh, I was literally, mentally, I was about to have Kathy go, how'd you get in there? Because
Kathy's coming to be like, hey, let's play with unicorns and, oh no.
That was the goal. That was a little bit the goal.
Is Norman conscious for this?
The way that Norman was snatched up, he definitely hit his head.
Ouch.
I think Norman might be dazed. I think Norman be a blacked out for a second.
I thought you were about to say Norman might be dead, and I was going to panic for a split sec.
And so I've prepared another hunter here for
I guess, like, seeing that, I mean, you said slowly, but is it clear to see that, like, he's getting dragged by something?
Kathy can see the outline of something black against the night sky.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, fight or flight's gonna kick in. Is the pen, is it something that could be hopped over, or is it, like, more of a barrier? Like, I cannot get in through this way.
Unicorns are short and squat. Not jumpers like horses would be. The fence is a stone 4-foot barrier.
Cool.
Kathy can likely hop over this.
So Kathy's going to hop the fence and start booking it toward Norman.
Oh, boy.
Did Norman drop his golf club?
Norman is still holding on to his golf club.
It's because he's got that perfect golf grip.
Norman's got the death grip.
But not in an offensive hold. His foot is being dragged while his golf club is still in his hands.
It's still sort of lodged in there. Mm-hmm. You can see Norman, even though you can't see the creature, because his khakis stand out across inky black of night. And his pale, pasty skin.
Jesus. Well, actually, okay, wait. Here's my question. So, pre this event, we have canonized that CB can see in the dark. Do they have, like, any more details than anybody else in this situation?
As CB focuses in on Norman being dragged away, they can actually see the creature a little more clearly. It looks almost like a deer, but not quite. The eyes are more forward-facing, more predator-like. It doesn't look put together correctly. Something about its teeth, its body... As CB focuses in on the beast, they also notice another set of eyes in the distant forest, and some noises coming in from poor Farmer Jeffrey's house.
Rest in peace.
We never even got to call Neil.
If I hypothetically got to him, if he's being dragged, I assume, even if I can't see the actual figure, I could kind of guess based on, like, if it's like a leg is being up and being pulled, I could kind of make an educated guess. She's got some pepper spray. She's going to whip that bad boy out.
Kathy pulls out her pepper spray and goes to town. It's been a while since she's tested it, but thankfully when she sprays the creature, it lets go of Norman. They can hear it making angry noises as it claws at its eyes. Unfortunately, Kathy did end up spraying herself and Norman just a little bit.
My fucking eyes.
Hey, does the pepper spray, does it work like smelling salts?
Have you ever been pepper sprayed? You know what?
That's for me to know and you to wonder.
No, it doesn't. I'm sorry. It's going to hurt.
We're doing great, fam. We're doing so good.
I still have my golf club.
You're passed out.
Yeah, but I still got my golf club.
I would like to do, because you've just given CB two very interesting pieces of information that nobody else has, and I don't think that CB would particularly give a shit that anything is, like, happening to a human in the house. It's just like, you know what? If it happens, it happens. Life and death and all that shit. But the presence of the other set of eyes is very interesting to me. I want to know what those two eyes are.
CB sees these eyes and debates crossing the field in the middle of the pen to investigate. However, before they can move, they realize they're stuck in place as their mind is being rooted through. The creature is able to easily tell that CB is not human.
CB's not human.
Oh my god, I know, right? So crazy.
You're still passed out.
You are still unconscious. They know that CB is not only a vampire, but comparatively a very young one. So, as one will know, in vampire lore, which I'm definitely not pulling multiple sources out of my ass to create the most interesting little guy.
It's allowed.
The longer it's been since you have been turned, you know, the more powerful you become. I've seen, like, some texts do it with, like, the pointiness of, like, a vampire's ear. So, like, how, like, Nosferatu has, like, super, like, elf-like ears in some depictions. Comparatively, CB's got pretty normal round ears. They're a baby vampire. They're a baby vamp.
Human ears? They're so round.
This is Boone Green, the owner of the Growl and Prowl, your friendly neighborhood mechanic shop. Now, let me tell you, we can help you with just about anything.
If your engine's got a grumble, but you're wanting it to... Really? You want an engine to growl? I mean, I understand, but Daddy, really? Okay.
If your prowl's got knocks and pings that make you want to howl,
bring your car to see the Greeleys. We can fix it and howl.
Did you really think you'd get away with this? Howl and howl. How? What was going on? What were you thinking, Dad?
Ty might be, you know, do you know how much I don't want to say Ty Joe is right? Do you understand that saying Ty Joe is right is like my worst nightmare? You can't just rhyme howl and how. That don't make no sense. I mean, howl has a whole extra letter on the end of it, and how is just the front part of the sound. That's not rhyming. That's just repeating the same.
You gotta add something else, more pizzazz. You know what?
We can fix it with a smile, not a scowl. How'd you like them apples? I went ahead and improv that.
Okay, all right. I'm all right. That's Growl and Prowl in Reddington Town Center. Open Sunday through Friday and Saturday by appointment. Unless the moon is fat. Then just park in the back and drop a note in the box. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. Promise.
And how? What is this, 50s?
After a moment, CB regains control of themselves as whatever creature lets go. Kathy and Norman are pepper sprayed. CB has been mentally violated a little bit. What's Bot up to?
Well, when you put it like that.
Steven DeKnight's about to sue our asses.
Maud was sticking with CB. We were going to go help Norman out, I thought.
Maud, save the day, please.
All right. I'm sorry. I must have blacked out for a second. What is the status of the monster?
Listeners, there is so much going on and only so much an old woman can take. Especially when there is a dark, seemingly empty house nearby for looting. I am not entirely sure if Maud would be able to tell if there is something going on in the house. But knowing Maud's background, I personally feel like Maud could very easily case a joint. So it really depends on what she wants to do in this situation.
Is she casing the joint?
This is not the time. No, this is not the time for casing a joint, you guys. You criminals.
Maud has a heart? What?
No, this is me, Katina.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to do all the work. I know if I go get Norman, then he's going to do all the work. So maybe I'll just go drag him to a safer location.
I was going to say, what do you love more? Norman, or just the hustle, the thrill of the hunt?
You know, it's the bloodlust.
I get it.
To confirm, Maud is trying to move Norman and is completely ignoring Kathy.
I'm not. I'd assume, like, because the goal was to try to get him out, so I probably was already, like, if he's still out, I'm pulling, and I'm trying to pull him out of the car.
Okay,
pen.
That's cool. Are you blind, Kathy, at the moment?
Am I what?
Are you blind because you got pepper sprayed?
Oh, shit. I thought you were trying to do like a bit.
A quip.
Yeah, a little bit. I was like, what's the punchline?
Norman and Kathy are going to need to find some milk to clear out their eyes before they're going to be able to function fully again.
I yelled at Maud, he needs some milk.
He needs some milk.
Jesus Christ.
It's not a dead meme. It's still funny, damn it.
As Maud comes to help Norman, not Kathy, the monster takes off towards the woods in a blind romp. Unfortunately for the group, the unicorns are now kind of pissed off this is going on.
Oh, shit.
They're all safe in the pen. So while the monster is getting away, there are now some ticked off unicorns starting to just poke at the group.
I just keep swatting behind me, just swatting them with my hand.
Yes, the unicorn's greatest weakness.
Maud!
The back hair.
It's just Maud.
Pretending it's
Does Maud have, like, some heavy rings, maybe? Like, Godfather style.
She's decked out.
Does Maud have, like, rings that can, like, she can, like, kind of turn them and they all, like, link into a brass knuckle? I saw that on Etsy.
I've never heard of that. I thought you were going for a Captain Planet thing when they like link up or something. I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh my god, I didn't dream that show. That was actually a thing that happened.
With our powers combined.
Is Maud part of Voltron?
She's got BAMF on her brass knuckles and she's swatting at the unicorns behind her as she's trying to drag out Norman.
Is Maud like trying, is it just like kind of like a SWAT kind of thing, or is it like they are physically getting hurt with these whacks?
Well, I'm not stopping what I'm doing to turn around and like punch them in the face, so I think I'm just shooing them.
Okay.
As they're trying to, because they're getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the annoyances of the unicorns, Maud is able to get Norman back over the fence.
They are all going to likely have a little extra glitter between them being poked and the unicorns being swatted.
So we're all out of the pen?
Everyone is safely out of the pen. The pepper-sprayed creature took off in the direction of the eyes that CB saw earlier.
Cool. Kathy doesn't see shit because she's in the middle of crying out all of this pepper spray that she probably, that's a really good point. She probably hasn't actually used it. God knows when. So it works. It works well. She's crying. Is Norman still passed out?
No. By this point, Norman's been pepper sprayed and dragged on the ground.
Norman, are you alive?
Norman, are you good, bud? How are you feeling?
We can't do this whole adventure with Norman just out.
I think Norman starts to come to and definitely is crying a little bit, but first of all is like very comfortable with his emotions, so it's not like off-putting to him. And he says, oh boy, I haven't had a headache like that one since they started carrying Miller Lite at the corner store. You know what I'm talking about? Not you, Kathy, not you.
I'm laughing out of character.
CB says, shh, go back to sleep and then we can leave.
His eyes are in so much pain. They're going to need to get some first aid for them soon before you can all go look for new, fresh clues.
Yeah, could I go into the farmhouse and see if I can appropriate some sour cream or something?
Appropriate some sour cream? No, you put milk! It's milk!
Yeah.
They're the same. They both give me diarrhea. They're the same.
Dear listener, if you are currently thinking, but I thought Norman was a regular guy, please remember that he's normal and average in every way. So in this case, lactose-induced irregularities is in fact regular, as about 68% of the world's population is, to one degree or another, in the same boat as Norman. It is normal, and he would want you to know that you are in the majority, and you are seen.
I was going to say, I feel like Kathy would have a first aid kit in her car, but I don't know if there'd be anything useful specifically for this strangely specific scenario to help out if it's not in a basic first aid kit.
You know she's got that babysitting money on the side.
As a reminder, CB is the only one so far who has clocked that something is in the farmer's house. The easiest way into any house in Reddington is, of course, the front door.
People in Reddington don't even lock their doors, so you don't have to.
Can Norman see the front door?
It is a typical farmhouse. It's got a porch, there's a front door, there's a truck that's pulled up in the driveway. No lights are on. Jeffrey was actually not even the type to have some timers to keep the robbers away.
God bless him. Oh my god. He was so comfortably aged. Too soon, though, too soon.
He left such a beautiful ranch house, too. No second floor. You know, Jeffrey's knees were getting up there.
Can I help him out? Because I feel like I've encountered pepper spray from the authorities before, and I kind of, like, know what's best for it.
Yeah!
I like that Maud didn't even ask what happened. It's just pepper spray. I got you.
I was gonna spit in it, but I bet they have milk in the house.
Maud being Maud has easily assessed where the kitchen is on this style of housing and is leading Norman towards the kitchen door.
Casing the joint.
Since Kathy's not being led, I'm going to say she just blindly grabs something, like Ma's like jacket, whatever Ma's wearing, just like the clothing kind of bit to just be led.
She assumes you're coming with her. Yeah, she's taking care of both of you.
And Norman is blinking through the tears. He's like, hey, bud, how the hell are you?
I need fan art of this right now. This is a beautiful mental image.
She slaps him across the face.
Yeah. While y'all are doing that, I'm going to make a decision, said every person about to make a great choice ever. I'm going to say CB's kind of the only person that's actually seen that second set of eyes, and they want to keep eyes on the eyes. So while y'all are going in the house, they're going to wait outside by the door. This is not a being invited in situation. I haven't decided yet.
You know what, listeners? Either way, the owner is dead, right? So CB wouldn't be required to, you know... I don't know if CB has ever tried to enter someone's house.
But yeah, they're gonna stand outside on the porch and watch the woods. Maybe like as they're all like walking, into the house, they stay outside and are just like, you know that stare that hunting dogs have when, like, they've caught the scent of something and they do, like, the point motion. Like, usually, like bloodhounds will do it, redbone pups will do it, stuff like that. Like, and they've got, like, the look in their eyes. That's the look on CB's face right now. And they're just, like, standing there kind of, like, staring at the woods. Don't even say anything. Just stay watching it.
It made me think, when you said that, I just thought of Doug from the movie Up.
I was going for more of a Where the Red Fern Grows vibe, but...
What if CB thinks that they have to be invited in somewhere, but that's not actually, like, a magical thing? They just have, like, severely unaddressed social anxiety. And they're like, that's why I can't go to the party. That's why I can't go, because of the wards. And it's like, no, look inward.
I'm so sorry. There's not a drop of anxiety in that twinky little body.
I wish it could be me.
Not a single ounce of anxiety or shame. So yeah, they're bloodhounding the woods.
That's so strong.
As Norman gets closer to the kitchen, he hears some stuff being dropped and then a back door opening.
I knock.
No one answers. No one is in this house anymore.
I think it's okay to go in. I think that's what Jeff would have wanted.
Norman, my eyes are stinging.
I hear you, and I'm blurting.
Absolutely. The lights are on, and both of their heads are over the sink.
I found the fridge in the kitchen, so Maud has poured milk over both of your heads.
You found it.
Yeah, in the fridge, right? You're soaked in milk. Absolutely drenched.
The big question here. Is Maud going to use unicorn milk? Cow milk? Which one are we using here?
Oh, okay.
It's in an unmarked mason jar. We don't know.
I'd like to imagine, if I may throw this into the lore, if it is unicorn milk, I'd like to imagine unicorn milk. It's not like regular cow milk, but it's like, you know, if you ever have, like, Fruity Pebbles, that's what I'm thinking of, like Fruity Pebbles.
And, oh my
like,
God.
Soak in the milk for a bit. It's that.
And then it's fruit milk.
It's fruit milk. That is the worst thing I've ever said tonight, but it's fruit milk.
Fruit milk.
Yeah, the, kind of.
The jar says Jeff's milk on it.
No!
And as Norman has his head over the sink and is getting milk poured on him, he says, you know how much they would charge you for this at a spa in LA? We're pretty lucky, actually.
Even pepper sprayed. He is still the nicest fucking guy.
Is it unicorn milk or nah?
We haven't seen any cows. What else would it be?
Then Kathy takes solace in the fact that at least it smells okay.
So unicorns have nipples then. Sorry.
Great. Actually, I think if it's on an animal and you're milking it, the correct terminology is teat.
Oh, it has teat.
Or alternatively, udder. So udders have, I hate that I know this. I'm your token farm person. Udders have teats. The milk comes out of the nipple, which is on the teat, which is on the udder.
Okay, so they do have nipples, yes. But it's on the teat, which is on the udder.
Okay, so the
question was, do they have nipples? And they do.
Scientifically, yes. I agree, but I'm going to call them teaties now. That was the best thing ever.
Newt, can I grab a sidebar with you real quick?
Why?
We got to dial back on the nipple talk, dude. I think we're starting to chase the babes away.
No, you don't understand. The babes love it when you know how to properly, you know, milk a cow and you're totally fine with mucking out stalls.
Fuck yeah, talk more about cow anatomy.
Yeah, it's getting real sweaty in here.
I think things are different here in Chicago, my friend.
All I'm going to say in my personal defense is I live in the South. I grew up riding. I know a lot about farm animals.
And I was just going to say the nipples are the eyes of the torso. Thank you.
Okay.
And now we have CB yelling at them about farm animals.
Not in canon.
Yet.
You don't know their past.
They've been around for a couple decades, you know?
Many decades.
No. Wink.
We can see, like, pretty okay now again, now that we've done the milk thing. Kathy sprints to her car to find that emergency little makeup kit that she always carries in there. Because Kathy would. She's got to freshen up stat before anything else can progress in this adventure for Kathy. So she's back at her car, if she's allowed to easily run out the front door and back to the car.
So she just, like, sprints past CB, who is, might I remind you, doggedly staring at a bunch of woods. No words, just like, we're not acknowledging each other.
Are you in my way?
We're doing what we need to do.
Okay, I was going to say, I wouldn't talk, but I'm ready. I've got a beeline, so depending where you're standing. You might be in the line of fire.
Did you just knock on the door because we heard someone in the house?
Yeah, it would have been rude to go in.
Yes. And instead, all Norman did was alert them and scare someone out of the house.
Did Kathy see anyone while she was running to the car?
Even if she did, she wouldn't have noticed. I'm going to be real with you. Kathy has one goal and one goal only. It doesn't help us progress the plot, but I gotta be honest to the character.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's true.
The object that fell and broke was not in the kitchen. There will be no Bloody Marys jumping out here. But the house does currently appear empty if anyone wants to explore it.
Yeah, I want to go check it out.
Maud's going to try to loot it, because now is the time for looting you guys.
Yeah!
So you got to establish that there's no one else in the house.
As Norman and Maud look around, they notice the house already looks quite ransacked. There's some broken glass on the floor, but outside of that, everything looks fairly normal and definitely not dangerous. You know. As long as one of them doesn't cut their feet on the broken glass.
And I mean, there is technically one danger that the rest of you have not noticed that CB has absolutely noticed.
CB is not wrong. Norman can see a spot of light from the distance. He looks outside in the direction CB is looking and sees what could be a trick of the light. Poor guy did just get pepper sprayed. Who knows what he's seeing?
I did just get pepper sprayed.
And dropped.
And dropped.
And dropped.
And dragged.
And dragged.
And dragged. And I could still have milk in my eyes. I know the milk is helping, but it doesn't make it easier to
but,
see.
At the end of the day, you still have that golf club.
And you smell amazing. You smell like fruity pebbles.
Kind of like a sour fruity pebbles. Let's be honest.
No! Damn it.
No, it just happened. It's still nice. Give it like 15 minutes.
It's not... This is at night. We're not in the sun, so nothing's gonna...
What is the broken glass?
The glass on the floor looks like it came from some smashed up electronics. Mm-hmm.
Now, Maud, I know you have a diverse background. Does this look like foul play to you?
Maud's looking for Cash. She's checking in, like, the couch cushions underneath the couch where Cash might be stashed. She says, what?
Good idea. We'll check for valuables, because if they're still here, we'll know that they haven't been robbed.
Exactly. Great idea, Norman.
You know, I always said you were the smartest of the four of us, Maud. I truly believe that.
Oh, she blushes. So what kind of electronics? Would it be like a radio or like a...
In this room, it's a TV and what looks like an older computer screen.
CB was here.
That is a fair guess.
Do you think maybe whoever was here was looking for something, or do you think they just don't like electronics, Norman?
I'm sensing a lot of aggression.
What?
Read that room, Zora.
As an empath. Like, not from you. This just doesn't seem like a very fruitful kind of destruction. You know, it's not like breaking into a safe because you want to see what's in there. We know what's in a TV. Well, nobody knows what's in a TV. We still haven't figured it out, but there's no reason to break it into it, you know?
Okay.
So this feels like a measure of defense or a measure of anger or a combination thereof. That's the read I'm getting on it. And I am an empath, first of all.
Oh my
so
God.
Jot that down.
Okay.
Noted.
CB and Kathy both feel a change in the wind. See, when Kathy came running past CB earlier, they accidentally broke their eye contact for just a second.
Oop, my bad.
Damn it, Kathy!
Kathy in the car. Whoa!
She's got a mouthful of makeup brushes.
First not properly securing the chains on the fly ropes, and now this. You're just one health hazard after the other.
CB no longer can see any eyes in the woods.
Oh, shit.
But both of them start to feel the sense of being watched.
Kathy hits the button to lock the car doors.
Kathy, you fucking coward.
I was debating if that would mean, like, step out or nah. Oh, shoot, I don't know. I'll say Kathy gets out of the car. He doesn't lock it.
Yeah, because you're kind of putting yourself as, like, a sitting duck there.
Yeah.
Until otherwise stated, the tips of CB's fangs are visible from now on. Once CB loses sight of the eyes, they go down the porch steps and walk to the edge of the field where, like, sort of like the front area of the yard meets the field. And they're just kind of, like, scanning for anything else that they can pick up.
They are not getting much else. They are aware they can no longer see eyes.
And that just kind of makes it worse.
But they can sense what is nearby, closing in.
To add to the situation, Kathy's going to go ahead and just bitch slap that bear. So she sees CB walking toward the field and just yells, I know you don't want to be here, but you're seriously going to go hide in the cornfield?
CB does not even look at her. They just say, get everyone on the porch.
Yeah, Kathy's going to do that because...
Meanwhile, Norman finishes up exploring the house. Not only does he find it entirely ransacked, but all the electronics have been broken, as well as several mirrors in the hall and bathroom. Strangely, nothing is missing.
And I've been to Jeff's house, of course, because I know every resident by name.
Yes, Norman does. It's weird that nothing is missing.
Is there anything to, like, imply what kind of person... just, like, ran out or smashed it or anything?
While Norman is clearly checking out the house, Maud is clearly looting it, as previous statements show. She goes to the back door and can see something running away, and eventually she can see headlights in the distance, turning away from the house and driving away.
But I can't see what kind of car it is.
It is too dark to see what kind of car it is, but everything looked human. As she looks around outside of the broken electronics, she eventually finds what looks like a ripped bag. It is bright, bright yellow, and inside of it is a business card for an antique shop that occasionally sets up a booth in town during the farmer's market.
I love a farmer's market.
So maybe they were looking for something for or from the farmer's market? Is what we're assuming.
What do you think, dear listeners? Mm-hmm. I think that's a safe assumption. The car drives on the road at the edge of the forest, across the field from where the house is. It takes off heading south as if heading back into town.
Okay, so what we know now is that whoever was in the house is a human. They were going on a path into the woods and they were looking for something or leaving something that has to do with the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
At this point, CB has said to get everyone on the porch.
And Kathy is, for once in her life, listening.
So Kathy is running inside.
Hey, fam. Let's get on the porch. CB said 5 words to me, and that's cause for alarm. Let's get on the fucking porch.
Okay.
Maud follows her out there.
That was painless.
CB is so scary that when they're serious... everybody is on fucking board. All right.
Yep.
I think Norman really does have to swallow back, like, wants to be like, I really like our direct communication, but even senses like, maybe I'll address it later.
Uh-huh. Okay, so y'all are on the porch?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I honestly don't think, even though they're kind of on edge, I don't think CB has noticed that everyone has come out behind them, basically. They're pretty much trying to be a not-human sonar right now. They are really fucking looking for those eyes.
CB, we're on the porch!
That startles them, and they turn around and look at y'all for just a second, and you can very much see that the fangs are out, and the house lights sort of, like, cause the eye reflection. You are legit looking very much at a freaked out vampire, and it's kind of scary.
Whoa, what in the goddamn?
They are utilizing as much, look at me, I'm very scary, but I'm also, like, freaked out, and I'm trying to have all my ducks in order in case something comes at me.
Oh, like a puffed up cat.
Sort of. But the cat is incredibly fucking dangerous.
Like a puffed up cat.
Yeah.
Never, we don't know that you're a vampire, right?
I don't.
How does one explain Reddington? As I've heard recently from a few citizens, weird shit happens in Reddington, but I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. Most of the citizens have that mindset that until something confronts them with the weirdness heads on, they will explain it away as something else. Kind of like how someone might explain a ghost on the stairs as the house settling.
As someone who has done that. Yes.
Oh, Kathy is definitely the model citizen of this mindset.
Congratulations. My babysitter's a vampire. I'm sorry. No, but yeah, that is the information that you have just been presented. I will allow you 3 to 5 seconds to process.
Costume time, sure. What the fuck, CB? I don't know. There's other weird shit happening. I'll be honest. If we weren't dealing with all this other shit, I'd say Kathy would press it more. But the fact that there's more things going on, and like the poor fucking unicorns. Kathy's still thinking about that, even with the pepper spray and all that shit going down.
A bit of backstory, a freebie for you, if you will. CB and Maud actually partied together back in the 1970s. And let's be real, listeners, I don't know if you remember Maud's desk, but there was a Scarface amount of cocaine on that desk. I don't know if CB ever told Maud they're a vampire, or if Maud even realizes they're the same CB.
You know, I think time just flies, maybe. It's like 1975 still, something. And she just never thought about it that hard.
I think Norman thinks it takes, you know, all sorts to make a town. And everybody's under a lot of duress right now, and that shows its way.
Wow, ally of the year.
Ways.
My God, the rationalizing away.
You know, it's not my place to judge, and it's not my place to pry. And if this ends up being information that they feel is relevant, that they want to offer to me, I'm going to let them come to me on their terms.
Okay.
And I think maybe they were also pepper sprayed. That would explain the eyes for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
So you've got 3 people who give absolutely no shits. But continue.
Perfect. This is the perfect party for them. Okay. With that out of the way, CB, you know, has been startled. They're looking at everyone on the porch. And they say, there's a second one. Keep your eyes on the woods.
So we all look at the woods.
Sorry, I thought there was gonna be more.
No, they're not. They don't give a shit.
Just bringing everyone out on the porch. Just keep an eye out. I love it.
I think the guy who killed Jeffrey just went in the opposite direction. Are we really looking in the right part of the woods, CB?
Well, Maud makes an excellent point that is soon to be forgotten and never addressed again. The group can all hear the thundering of unicorns start heading towards them.
Congrats, I've brought you out for the best surprise party in the whole wide world. There's even a petting zoo!
Everyone's focus is on the unicorn stampede. The humans are on the porch while CB is standing in the yard?
Yeah, on the edge of the field.
No one hears as a second creature comes up. Standing behind the group on the porch.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Thank you for listening to Once Upon a Monster of the Week. Reddington's monsters are controlled by Meg Griffin, and episodes are edited by Alex Lavelle. A special thanks to Red Griffin for our character art. Thank you also to Michael Sands and Evil Hat for the Monster of the Week gaming system used in this podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks to check in on the Historical Preservation Society. Until then, you can visit welcometoreddington.com to find links to our Patreon, cast and character bios, and our Reddington Tourism Shop. We know that money is tight, so if you're enjoying the show, we would appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Once Upon a Monster of the Week is part of Haunted Griffin Entertainment. Please check out our website for more of our shows. Today's episode starred
Newt Shottlecotty as C.B. Scottsdale,
Gina Morvek as Kathy Pines,
Katina Reeves as Maud,
Theo Wampusik playing Norman Newman.
And today's guests included Sarah Palmero as Jessa June Greeley, Terry Randolph as Tyler Joseph Tyjo Greeley, and Adam Landford as Jackson Boone Greeley.